Blog Talk Radio.
This music will kick in very soon. DJ Edgar B.
Playing it.
On the ones and twos with your host, Rick Rivers. And my man, Jared Rudolph, ready to turn Hard Cigar Radio.
Let's talk. It's not playing.
Hey, what's going on, man? It's A2G Radio, partner technical difficulties. But we here, A2G Radio. It's your man, Rick Rivers. Jared Rudolph, you with us?
I'm here.
Jared Rudolph's Edgar Burgos right now, trying to get through the IT difficulty.
Yeah, this is a bad thing. My Apple laptop yesterday screen just went out. Today I took it to the Apple store and they told me it's going to cost me $400 to turn it back on. So I immediately walked out of there, the store, and debated if I wanted to pay $400. That's very annoying. And now I got to use my iPad.
Don't worry, man. We're going to make it happen, man. We got a good setup going on today. We got Ian Begley, ESPN, on the radio with us in another 10 minutes or so. And then we got our guy Fat Joe, man. I don't even know if to call him Fat Joe, Ed. The last time we seen him at the event that we had, he's like Slim Joe now.
Yeah, Jim, he's definitely working out. When I spoke to him earlier today, he was like, yo, Edgar, I'll call you back. I'm at the gym.
Always some good energy, man. I think Joe, like Frank Isola, has been on this show with us a few times, man. So he's an easy welcome back.
Yeah, it's definitely have him on.
Hey, but before this, we were talking off the air. We were talking about Jared. We were talking about your guy, man, Dwight Howard. What's going on with Dwight Howard, man? Anything you know? What's happening? Stick him.
What? I mean, in terms of what Dwight and I discussed privately, we're going to keep that private. Dwight's not a cheater. And, you know, I don't know the particulars of it or what happened, but, you know, Dwight's no cheater. You know, a cheater intends to cheat. They understand what they're doing. I would say knowing him, knowing the Rockets organization as well as I do, it was some type of mistake, some type of miscommunication, a misunderstanding of an interpretation of a rule. Not knowing that a rule is being broken, Dwight's not—he's not going to cheat the game. He has no reason to cheat the game. The Rockets have no reason to cheat the game. You know, that's just not who he is. You know, I know a lot of people think a lot of different things about Dwight, and you know, I get it, I respect it, I even agree with you know certain portions of it—not all of it—but you know, I can understand how someone from the outside looking in can form a certain opinion about Dwight. But in the world that we live in, you know, when you get to a certain point where you're no longer favored or as popular as you once was, as Dwight isn't at this point, then it just seems like anything negative will stick to him because people don't want to take the time to do any fact-finding or ask any questions. So you start to assume that what you see on television or what you hear in the barbershop is the reality. Most people don't know Dwight. If you knew him and you approached him, you find out he's a very decent guy that takes his time to engage his fans, take pictures, have conversations. He's just a different guy. Does that mean he's perfect and he won't make mistakes? No, but in terms of intentionally cheating the game that has enriched his life, nah, that's not who he is. So, I know him. I vouch for him. He's my friend, as everybody knows. He's no cheater. The Rockets aren't an organization that's going to cheat either. This is something that it just seems like it was a mistake.
Hey, I could agree with you, Jack. I don't think he would cheat. My first impression of this is Dwight is trying to hold on to the ball because James Harden won't pass the damn ball.
I understand the joking of it and everything like that, but, you know, it's a serious accusation out there. People saying that, you know, he's in some way using something that's illegal to, you know, to gain a competitive advantage. And that's just not who he is. I've watched this guy work. You know, I've worked out. Well, I've tried to work out with the guy. You know, in his 2-3-a-day workouts. And, you know, he puts his body through hell to put himself in a position to be able to compete at the highest level. He's not an 8-time All-Star, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, multi-time All-NBA performer by accident. okay? Dwight's a one in a million case. You know, you have the talent, but you have to put the work in to be a one in a million case. And he doesn't have any reason to cheat. He's, you know, he still has all-star years left in him. You know, he just got to get it right down there. And I believe that they will, or they can. But, you know, in terms of the Stickum situation, nah, Dwight Howard's no cheater. And I vouch for him. I know him. I think, you know, I would argue that I know him better than most people. He's no cheater.
I don't think he's a cheater either. But the only thing that made it suspect is when Bernie Bickerstaff tried to hide the court grip and the sticking thing behind the you know, behind the scorer's table. That, you know, why are you going to do that? You know, just you made it suspect.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you would have to ask Bernie that. But again, in terms of Dwight's no cheater. Dwight would never intentionally cheat the game. And, you know, you get these athletes, and all of them, from Steph Curry down to the last guy, you know, on the 12th or the 15th man on the worst team in the league, that believe that in the right situation they can play and compete. So when you take guys like Dwight's and the company that you know, his resume puts him in, you know, there's an ego there that you don't feel like you have to cheat. You feel like you can go out there and destroy anybody that's in front of you based on your talent and your ability alone. So, you know, to say that he feels like now he has to cheat, no. He's a guy just like LeBron, just like Melo, just like anybody else that feels like, look, the guy that you're putting on me can't guard me. They can't do anything with me. So why would I have to cheat? All you got to do is give me the ball, and I'm going to do what I do anyway. And that's how all great players approach it. That's how James Harden approaches it. That's how Steph Curry approaches it. You know, Klay Thompson, LeBron, you know, Tim Duncan. They're great for a reason, because they don't believe that there's anything that you can do with them. And they're never going to believe that until they stop playing. And for someone now to say that this guy, you know, the implications of just cheating and what that suggests, you know, he's no cheater. He's no cheater. You would have to, you would really have to have some hardcore evidence and put in front of me for me to say that Dwight Howard is a cheater, because I know him so well. And even after showing me the evidence, I was still questioning, because I just know him. If I've never seen the guy work or had a conversation with him or been in the gym with him hours at a time, shooting free throws at a time and working on, like, maybe then. But no, I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've gone through it with him. The guy's no cheater.
Yeah, you know I can do that. Let's talk about LeBron, man. You know, lately I kind of put this out there before the media started making a big deal of it, but I just feel like we don't hear so much about LeBron James as much anymore. It's the Steph Curry thing kind of like taking away his shine a little bit?
Taking away his shine? No, I mean, LeBron is LeBron. I think what has happened is now there's a new sheriff in town, and you know, LeBron's been pushed to the side. You know, Steph is doing what he's doing at such a high level that there's no reason now to, you know, just sit around watching LeBron. I mean, look, there's always a story in Cleveland so long as LeBron is there and, you know, they're a competitive team. The storyline around LeBron and what he can do in Cleveland and what he is in comparison to what people thought he would be and people wanted him to be, you know, it's all very interesting, right? But when you look at Steph Curry and what it looks like he's about to turn into, it's just a more compelling story. And it's no different. I mean, Kobe was that guy for a long time, and to a certain degree he is still that guy, but just different. But even when LeBron finally came into his own and started competing on a championship level and Kobe wasn't there, you kind of saw that attention now shifting from Kobe to LeBron. And this is all that is. This is now Steph Curry's time. It's Steph Curry's league. Some people may think that LeBron is still the best player in the world. Steph Curry certainly playing the best basketball of anyone in the world. And it's just his league right now. It's, you know, that basketball is his. And it's just his time. So, LeBron, you know, he's got his two rings and his four MVPs. But, you know, we'll see what Steph does now that, you know, the league is really tailor-made for a guy like him, who we've never seen before, to really go in there and just absolutely dominate.
I definitely agree. I think Steph is definitely kind of like taking things to a whole nother level. He's made the three-pointer like one of the most celebrated shots right now. You almost forget about the dunk sometimes as I watch Westbrook go down the lane and kind of Thunder one home. But I'm just concerned. LeBron,
unfollows Cleveland Cavaliers on Twitter. They make a big fuss of that. Is it because LeBron is not, no one's sure what he might do in his free agency?
I would think that most times LeBron probably doesn't even send out 95% of his tweets. So, I mean, he's such a busy man with, you know, all types of different interests. But
I think he does his tweets.
I think he does some of them. I don't think he does all of them. I mean, these guys are so busy, man. They have, you know, they have staffs. I don't know, but I mean, look. Anytime you know you have a hunch about something, or anytime something, you know, is newsworthy, people are going to look for anything and everything to, you know, to try to substantiate thoughts or claims that they have. And people think that he's going to leave Cleveland because it's just not working out there the way people thought it was going to work. Now, you know, is he going to leave Cleveland to the point where he unfollows? I don't know if it has anything to do with anything. I'm not even sure if he's the person that runs his Twitter account. I know that he should have stayed in Miami to begin with, and, you know, he has the right to make whatever choice he wants to make. I think where the mistake with LeBron is, and, you know, it's a mistake that a lot of teams are making, is LeBron James is not the end-all, be-all to winning an NBA championship. Now, he may be your best player on your team. He may infuse some positivity in your culture and certainly some receipts at the box office. But it has been proven that having LeBron James does not mean you're going to win a championship. He's done great things when he's had teams that haven't had a whole lot of talent, and he's failed to live up to expectations when he's had teams that have had the talent. I mean, look at the Golden State Warriors, who are going to absolutely win at least 70 games, right? You have guys that are tailor-made for a system that have made themselves an all-star. Meanwhile, you know, LeBron went down to Miami with, you know, great players, and we thought that they would win 70 games, and they never came close. Now, look, they went to four straight NBA Finals, 1-2, but, you know, when you look at this whole LeBron James thing, this phenomenon, and there's no taking anything away from me, he's great. But, again, the names that he's been compared to and what things have been said about him, one thing you can say for sure is that the end-all, be-all to winning an NBA title isn't having LeBron James. You have him, doesn't mean you're gonna come out with it. I mean, and it's just, look, he's a great player. He's done some great things. But so what if he leaves Cleveland? Doesn't mean that wherever he goes is going to win. I mean, that's been proven. He leaves Cleveland, so what? I mean,
you say so what? A lot of people are not going to say so what.
Why not?
Because a lot of people are going
to
be upset.
Look, he's done it. He's done his job. They have nothing to be upset about. LeBron has done his job. If LeBron decided to leave Cleveland tomorrow, they really can't be mad at anything. I mean, he's done all he can do.
He
brought him to the finals twice. You know, they've enjoyed the best basketball the franchise has ever enjoyed with him here. So what is it that you have to be upset about? I mean, LeBron can't help the fact that
Hello?
The Warriors? Like, what could he possibly do? But he doesn't owe the people of Cleveland anything more than what he's given them, and he's given them more than anybody. I mean, hell, he gave them more than Brad Daugherty and Mark Price did. What do you have to be upset about? The man has done his job.
I can't understand that, Jack. Why would he then leave Miami to come back and to say I'm going to win one for the land, and then we'll abandon them again?
Abandon? Abandon? Let's stop that abandon stuff. Look, you can't. If he decides to leave Cleveland, he's going and taking a better job. Abandon? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Abandon would be them making it to the NBA Finals and him wanting to prove a point, so he says I ain't going to play. That's abandoning. Okay, him doing his job until the end of the year and then deciding he's going to go take a different job or a better job someplace else is not abandoning Cleveland. It's taking a better job. This is their job. You do what I do. If someone offers me a better job, making more money in a better situation, I'm going to take it. LeBron has the right to do the same thing. Every player has the right to examine their situation and see if there's a better fit out there for them. And why are people so upset about it when teams do it every day? Teams trade, cut, waive, whatever they want to do, they control it. So if this man decides that he want to go to Miami, San Antonio, Toronto, wherever else, he has that right. He's earned that. This is a job. That's his job. He don't own the people in Cleveland no more than what he's given them.
Hey, Jack, that's a great point. I want to intro to the line Ian Begley, ESPN New York. Ian Begley, are you on with us?
What's up, guys? I'm here.
How you doing? You got Ricky Rivers, you got Edgar Burgos, you got Jared Rudolph. And Ian, we're having a little bit slight debate just before you joined the show. We're talking about LeBron
LeBron, we just hypothetically saying, what if he goes back to Miami? I'm thinking it's not fair to the city of Cleveland. And
you know,
maybe you have
crazy,
an opinion.
What I think is, first of all, I think, did you unfollow me today? Like LeBron unfollowed the Cavs? Cause does that mean anything? I mean, are you mad at me? Should I read anything into that?
No, cause hopefully I didn't do that, because I wouldn't do that to you.
You know what? No. If I think it would be such a bad look for his legacy, man, because, listen, he was Cleveland's chosen one. He left them at the altar, went to Miami, won his titles, and then to what was a surprise to most people, he came back to Cleveland, and he's been embraced by the city. He's on record as saying his desire is to bring a title there. So to change your mind and to jump ship again, I just think it would be a bad look for his legacy. When we're talking about LeBron James 20 years from now, you know, we'll be talking about a player who, you know, was indecisive with his career path. Now, in the moment, does it look like the right decision? Maybe we can debate that. But I'm just thinking big picture. It's just not good for, you know, the story that we'll tell about LeBron James years from now if he continues to switch teams every few years.
Yeah, that depends on who's telling the story.
It looks so seesaw to me. It's like it had to be a reason, which we don't know all the details. We're not privy to as to why you left Miami after the decision to come back to Cleveland. We're thinking it's a feel good story. You come back home and you help your team get a title. And I don't think just the momentum of Golden State or anything like that should stop you from that quest. Stay and win one for the land, as you said.
Yeah, he's on record as saying that's his goal. It's all about Northeast Ohio. He wants to bring a title there. So, yeah, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But to say that publicly, don't you then have to back those words up at some point? That's my thing. Like, if that's your goal, if that's your stated goal, back those words up. Stay there. Stay the course. Try to make it happen. I don't care what teams are on the West, what teams are in your way. You're LeBron James. Stay the course. Make it happen for your hometown.
Yeah, I disagree. I could disagree more.
I would agree with you. And I'll just talk about the New York Knicks. As we talk about LeBron and stay the course and go with your goal, Carmelo Anthony had a goal when he came here to New York, and he wanted to come back to his home city and win a title here in New York, because no place would be the best place to win a title. Since then, a lot of things have kind of changed and transitioned. So we're back at the end of the year thinking, does Melo stay or does he go? How much do you know? Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of it depends on what happens this summer. I think it starts with the coaching hire, but more importantly than the coaching hire, I think it's about what Phil Jackson can do bringing in players. Carmelo wants talent around him. He wants to be able to make the playoffs to compete for an Eastern Conference championship, ultimately a championship. That's been his goal since coming here and since re-signing here. And he's waiting to see what Phil does. Can Phil reel in the big fish over the summer? I don't know. But if he doesn't, if we get to the point in mid to late July where it's clear that the Knicks again have settled for second-tier free agents and it looks like they're taking another small step in the rebuilding process, but it isn't the big step that Carmelo would like to see, I think at that point he seriously takes a look at his options, sees what's feasible for him on the trade market, where he can go, where he could put himself in a situation to compete for a title. And if there's a viable option for him at that point, I think he definitely explores waiving that no-trade clause and orchestrating a trade on out of New York.
Yeah, my problem with that whole situation is, like, with the sec. Like, all right, so Aaron Afalo, if he opts out, we know he's not going to come back. So if the Knicks sign Evan Turner, how much of an upgrade is that really? The only thing that's going to really upgrade is, obviously, we need a point guard. My problem is, if we go after Mike Conley, Mike Conley is not worth no $17-18 million, which he thinks he probably could get that from the Grizzlies. But if I'm a Knicks fan, you know, Knicks fan, why do I want to pay this guy $18 million for 4 years? I mean, he's 28 years old. He'll be 32. Yeah, he's an upgrade, but, man, he could, that takes a lot of the cap.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, it's not so much the first 2 years of that deal, but it's the back end that might hurt you because he's 33, 34 at that point, and that number balloons to, you know, $25, $26, $27 million, and that's a big number. They're in a tough spot. They're really in a tough spot because, you know, not only is there's not crazy attractive free agents this summer. There's not a plethora of them. There are a few guys that can change your team. There's not many, though. And the other thing is every team out there, most teams out there are going to have money. The Knicks will have money. They'll have at least $18 million to spend, so they'll be able to afford a guy like Mike Conley. But other teams are going to have money, too, because the cap is going up. So the Knicks are going to have to compete with teams that are closer to winning than they are. So what do you really sell? I don't know what they're going to be able to sell this summer to convince a guy to go to New York over other teams that are closer to winning a title or competing in the playoffs than the Knicks are.
So I do want to switch off. I want to go. So obviously one of the biggest competitors for the Knicks as far as having money is the Brooklyn Nets. They're going to have $40 million. Available. Apparently, that's what they're saying, for about a little over 40 or about $39 million. How many players do you think would rather go to Brooklyn? Obviously, new GM. They're probably going to have a new coach. I think they might have better options, even though they don't have draft picks, than the Knicks right now.
They have a lot of money. That's for sure. And you know, some speculation out there today that they're gonna try to get John Calipari from Kentucky. I never believe those rumors until John signs on the dotted line, because usually he'll use this as leverage to get more money out of Kentucky. But if he ends up in Brooklyn as the president and the coach, and you get Sean Marks as the GM, and they have a bunch of money, you know, I can see players looking at that as an advantageous situation. Because you're in a bigger market. You have Cal, a guy who you would think, given all his success in college basketball, will be able to recruit a couple free agents. And you've got Prokhorov's deep pockets. So, you know, you could definitely make an argument and say, depending on who the Nets get to coach the team or be president of this team, they could end up being a better situation for free agents than the Knicks.
Yeah, and they got the new practice facility as well. I think that, just to kind of add some luster to the whole thing. And it's not far from my house, Ian. I mean, Brooklyn's not far from my house, but it's another landmark. Get it.
I just, for me, I look at the free agents, I look at the teams, you know, Brooklyn and the Knicks, and I say to myself, it has to be about something more than money, right? So even with the money, with the new GM in Brooklyn, Ian, what type of culture do you think that he's going to be looking to build in Brooklyn, and how is that culture something that may be attractive to some of these free agents?
You know, Mr. Rudolph, the guy Sean Marks is an R.C. Buford disciple. You know, he comes from that San Antonio program where they preach winning, they know how to win, and every player that goes there buys into that culture immediately. But they do so, I think, not because of Greg Popovich, but because of the results. Because they have a Tim Duncan buying in, Tony Parker buying in, Kawhi Leonard buying in, everybody just falls in line. All the new players who go there fall in line. So, you know, Sean Marks, I think, is going to try to create that culture. But I think the only way it's created is by winning. I don't think you can snap your fingers and have everyone fall in line as if they're a San Antonio Spur. I think you have to show results on the floor first, and then players will buy in. So I think he's going to try to create that selfless culture, that buy-in culture to a bigger goal. But I think it's definitely easier said than done, especially if you're not winning games at a San Antonio clip right away, which we know the Nets aren't going to do. So I think Marks has a big challenge on him.
Hey, Ian, I know we only have you for a short time. Before we let you go, we're watching this race with Golden State Warriors to see how many wins they end up with. So I want to put you in the lottery as well.
what number do you think Golden State will finish with in the win column? And if you get to guess the right number, Edgar Burgos has a gift for you at the end of the season.
Wait, what am I getting from Ed? What's on the table here?
We'll go
to the pizza shop.
what's your number?
I'll take that.
I'm going
71. I'm gonna go one
71.
Shy of the record.
Okay, you're gonna go one shot. Oh,
yeah,
because
I know they have San Antonio a couple times, so that's where I think they'll end up. But hey, it's gonna be fun to watch. That's for sure.
Definitely is. Hey, Ian Begley, like always, we always love to have you here on HCG. And always great talking with you guys.
Hey, good to be with you guys, man. Let's do it at a sports bar sometime soon.
Thank you for coming on.
You got it, brother. Take care.
That's Ian Begley, ESPN, joining here on H2G Radio. Good conversations with Ian always. Hey, so what is your guy's number? I just want to know. I had 74. Edgar, what was your number for Golden State? What did you say that how many they would win? Or Jarrett, you could jump in. How many did you say that they would win?
I think 73, maybe. I think they get the record. They're on the run right now. I don't see anybody at 73, maybe even 74. Yeah, I'll go 74.
That was my number. I had 74. I'm sticking with 74. I think they surpassed that record by two, and then they kind of turned it down after that. Edgar gets back in, I want to kind of see what his number is, because as we kind of talk with Fat Joe up next at the end, I like to figure out what his number is in the lottery and see who.
Well,
comes
let me
closer.
Say this while we're waiting on Edgar, because I didn't want to cut Ian off, but I totally disagree with what he said about LeBron and how people will look at LeBron if he decides to go back to Miami or leave Cleveland. I mean, how could you possibly look at him as anything other than being a great player? Okay, like him being great doesn't change because he may do something that people don't like or because people don't, you know, because it doesn't fit into what everyone feels like he should do with his own career. This is his. He earned it. He earned the right to do whatever he wants to do with it. And the way he'll be seen in 20 years is one of the 10, 15 best players to ever play the game. It's like none of that changes. Him being a great individual talent doesn't change if he doesn't do what works for the people of Cleveland and the people of Miami. They're better off, in terms of what they've seen basketball-wise and the little bit of enjoyment that they get from going to the game and having LeBron James for a short period of time than they would without having LeBron. Same thing with Miami. I mean, I understand what they did with Wade and Shaq, but they didn't win anything until LeBron got there, and they're not winning anything now that he's gone. And the same thing can be said about Cleveland. So how the hell can anybody get upset with this man if he goes and if he decides to leave and put himself in a better position to win?
Hey, Jack,
I don't understand that. It's crazy to me. It's like people.
Yeah, it's a little inconsistent, though. I mean, it's not inconsistent,
brother. He went there. He gave it his best shot. If it doesn't work out, he has the right to say, you know what, let me reevaluate this because it's not working and I don't see it making a change. So I'm supposed to sit here and continue to lose because that'll make everyone else happy. Well, what about what makes LeBron happy? What about what makes LeBron fulfilled?
I can say just as an athlete and just watching athletes over the years in the NBA, this whole idea of just hopping in free agency, just jumping to every big city to the best deal that you could feel that you can win right away. What happened to the traditional times when people built and they developed?
Listen, brother, those times are gone. You got analytics. You got these kids coming out of school that can't play. You got a league that's oversaturated with one and done guys that don't know how to play basketball. Young boys don't know make young boys better, and you got a bunch of young boys on the team. And then you get four or five teams in there that can compete. Now, look, I mean, take them to Rucker Park, yeah, they'll look good. But in terms of competing on the NBA championship level, you tell me the last young boy to come in and make a big, big impact immediately. I'll wait.
Well, LeBron happens to be one of them. Okay, but that's 10 years from now. That's 10 years ago. Let's look at the last kid. That's kind of like I actually like what my guy over in Minnesota is doing right now. From Kentucky.
Yeah, because Minnesota's primed to make a run in the playoffs, right?
No, but he's playing well. He is
dominating night in and night out with a double-double.
Dominating? No, Steph Curry's dominating, man.
Oh, it's not
Steph Curry's dominating. He's dominating. Putting up points, putting up a lot of points and a couple of dunks on the highlight reels when your team is getting blasted by 15 tonight. Look, man, I ain't taking nothing from the kid, but dominating and making a difference, he ain't doing, brother. Well, young boys don't make young boys better, and these young boys are coming out of school way too fast, and they're in a man's game. And they can't play. The numbers don't even contribute to anything worthwhile. They're just numbers. They don't mean nothing. And what these young boys are doing now is they're not even sticking with one team a bunch of time. They get in the league 2-3 years, and guys are trading them and moving them. Young boys don't make young boys better. And they come out so fast, and you get a guy like LeBron who's trying to win, but you got young boys that don't know anything. They're so caught up in themselves. They're impatient. They're talented, but they can't play, and this is what he got to work with. And then you wonder why he's getting clobbered by Golden State, and you would question why he want to leave. Look, I like Kyrie Irving, but he's a young boy that got a lot of talent that didn't win a damn thing before LeBron got there. And they talk about he's not happy. Well, what are you upset about? Would you rather score 25 and watch the playoffs or be in the finals with a chance to win? I mean, acquiesce to a guy that understands what it is to win and how to win. These young boys don't know what they're doing. You kidding me?
So why would LeBron leave Miami to go into that situation with no Kevin Love in it?
I don't know LeBron personally, brother. I can't answer that question. He ain't even from Cleveland. He's from Akron. But the fact of the matter is, he made a decision that was best for him, and he earned the right to make that decision. So all you can do is respect it. It is his life. He took a job. He took a job that he felt was better for himself at that time. He took a job. He earned it. He did. Miami went to 4 straight NBA Finals. They won 2. How many MVPs did LeBron win when he was out there? 2 MVPs? The interest that he drew when he was in Miami, putting them on the map, making them better. Come on. He did his job for Miami. Miami is better for having him. Let's move on. Let's move past it. He can do whatever the hell he wants to do. He did his job in Miami. He's doing
his job
in Cleveland. If he wants to leave, he can go someplace else. It's a job, brother.
It's definitely a job, bro. It's not a job that we – it's not the same type of job that we may punch in a 9-to-5.
No, it's a job. It's a job. They get paid every 2 weeks
us. They weigh it totally different, and that depends on how your contract is set up, because some people set up their contract a little bit different.
It's a job. It's a well-paying job. LeBron James works for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Oh, he's an independent contractor for the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's a job. And at the end of this season, if he sees a better job out there for him within this NBA that he plays in, he has every right to take that damn job. Mad at LeBron for taking a better job?
I would not be mad at him because I don't put athletes on that type of pedestal. I will say, when I look at his career, when I look at his body of work, I see a lot of inconsistencies in terms of his decision-making and the things he's doing. I think he's a great guy. I think his heart is definitely in the right place in a lot of ways. But doesn't mean that he's the sharpest decision-maker on the business side about things.
Shock the hell out of me. I mean, because he's sure doing pretty well last time I checked, so he's making pretty decisions. The decision to go back to Cleveland made him more profitable, made him more lovable. You talk about the letter and what he said in the letter, public relations one-on-one, my brother, fall on the sword sometimes. I mean, come on, man. This guy made a better job.
LeBron James and who he is as a corporation within himself, LeBron James can go to Minnesota and change the financial situation in Minnesota right now. So him coming back to Cleveland, making it a bit, and judging that based on the dollars and the economy there, I don't say that.
So maybe instead of people looking at LeBron, and the onus is on LeBron to stay and deal with whatever goes on in Cleveland, maybe the onus needs to be on the basketball minds, the front office, to do whatever it needs to be done to keep LeBron. Like, stop putting all of the onus on that man. He's doing everything he can do. I mean, all right, so if he has a problem with the personnel, with the jerseys, with anything else, get it changed if you want that man to be your basketball coach and you want him to stay. But if you don't make sure that Cleveland is the best job for him, then damn it, don't get mad at him when he goes and takes another job.
Hey, Jack, on that note, I thought Cleveland organization did that before he first left Cleveland. I thought they changed seats in the arena, changed the color. I thought they gave LeBron.
Yeah, they didn't change personnel. They got him out there with them dogs, and they losing to the Celtics every year. So they didn't. Obviously, they didn't do enough.
And in that case, Melo should jump ship.
Stop. We are not putting Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James in the same category ever.
Okay.
I like Melo, man. I think Melo can play. I like Melo. Melo been out the first round two times. Please don't ever put him in the same category as LeBron James. He's not there. Melo's as much a part of the problem in New York as he is a part of the solution. Like, people act like Melo out there killing and carrying teams to the playoffs, and he doing it by himself. They losing together. They lose together, man. Melo ain't in the same category as no damn LeBron James.
Melo's a superstar. Melo's
a great player. Melo's a great player that's played in the conference finals once. One time, and it wasn't in New York.
Charles Barkley.
I don't
want to
hear all this Melo's a superstar stuff. He's a good dude, and he's a great individual talent. But that him being a great dude and a great individual talent sure does not lead to the teams that he's leading making deep playoff runs. He's been out of the first round twice. Why the hell are we talking about what Carmelo Anthony wants to do?
Charles Barkley hasn't won an NBA ring. Does that make him not?
This ain't about Charles Barkley. This ain't about Charles.
I'm only going off your argument.
This ain't about Charles played in a different NBA, my brother. Charles played in a different NBA, and Charles stayed around the second round. Charles was losing to Michael and Isaiah, and Charles didn't have a chance. But he carried his team. That's not Melo. We are not comparing Carmelo Anthony to LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, none of those guys, because unfortunately his resume outside of All-Star, it don't measure up, man. He's been out the first round twice. Let's stop that. I like Melo. I think he's a good dude. I don't want to make it seem like I'm trying to get at my man, because I'm not. But, you know, truth is truth, okay? Melo don't go places and winning follows. This is not the reality of the situation.
Well, time out.
Chauncey Billups got to Denver. They made a deep run. Chauncey was a winner, okay? Jason Kidd comes to New York. They get to the second round. Jason Kidd was a winner. I don't want to hear about Carmelo Anthony being this big-time winner when he's not. He's a good player, but he's not. He's not in the same category as LeBron James. I think maybe if Melo was to leave, maybe the Knicks might end up being a little bit better because they lose him without him. How much worse can you be? How much worse can you be if Melo leave?
Edgar had a response.
Well, I think, first off, their record without Melo in the last 2 years is 7-43. This year they're it's still under 500. But all I'm saying is LeBron is better. I guarantee LeBron's everybody better. LeBron, I totally agree. I just think that Melo never had, besides the team that he had in Denver and the year that Jason Kidd around Melo. When everyone was talking that Melo should probably win the MVP, because Melo's always been I think Melo's a good player. He can play defense when he wants to play defense. He can rebound. He can make assists. He's that type of player when he has good players that he trusts. He's never, in the last 3 years, he hasn't really had those type of players. And there's been so much turnaround with the coaches. I mean, he's been through four coaches in 5 years.
You know, it's crazy. That's crazy. It's crazy to me. People, and I think maybe it's because Melo's a cooler dude or nice. I don't know what the thing. Because look, I think he's a good dude. I've always had great experiences with him. Very professional dude. I think more professional, more grown up in New York than he was in Denver, with AI and Kenyon Martin. You know, being around Chauncey, whatever, maybe that had a positive effect on him. I mean, certainly something had to, because, I mean, he's a professional. He does his job. But it seems like there are arguments and concessions made for Carmelo Anthony that were never made for Stephon Marbury, okay? Both great individual talents, but have won about the same amount of things. Yeah, Melo got out of the first round once. But people want to defend Melo for the same things that you killed Marbury for. That you killed Patrick Ewing for. I mean, come on, man. He don't win. He doesn't.
You are killing Carmelo Anthony.
I'm not killing Carmelo Anthony. It's never personal. It's the truth. The same thing that got Marbury ran. Marbury really from New York. Marbury right out of Brooklyn. They ran Marbury out of town. All the same things. The turnover with the coaches. The turnover with the players. And Steph had to deal with the same damn thing. No one ever, outside of me, no one ever said, wait a minute. Well, let's look at this a little bit differently now. How much fault can it be? He got a new coach every year. Oh, but now all of a sudden it's Melo, and we're making all these excuses for Melo, but with his resume don't speak to him winning anywhere he went.
Hey, Jared, let me get a 20-second timeout. I got to bring my man Fat Joe on the line. Fat Joe, you with us?
All the way
What's
up.
I'm all the way up.
Hey, Joe,
I tell you, that's my track right there, that all the way up. Which one you feeling more, that all the way up or that lean back? Because I feel a close connection to both.
I mean, hey, man, I can't tell you. I wouldn't even compare the two. I could just say I feel so blessed that everybody is gravitating to it, and the city, everybody, the whole country, everybody is loving this song, and you know, I'm just happy, man. When you able to create something that everybody's loving, man, it ain't no feeling like it. It ain't no vibe like it, you know. So that's all I can say. I can't tell you which one is better. Which one? I mean, they both crazy dope. You know, Lean Back was 47 weeks number one. All three formats. So it's like, I don't know, man. I wish it swing back.
Hey, Joe, how long did it take you to write that song?
Well, it didn't take long. Just the whole process of the album took like 9 months, because, you know, I knew that, you know, it was a high bar. It was a high standard. Like when you heard Fat Joe got a new song with Remy Ma, you was like, I'm hoping this ain't whack. Please, God, let this be good. You know what I'm saying? So I knew everybody was going to be like, yo, you and Remy went back. If it was some mediocre or some just getting over, we would have let the people down. So, you know, I had to really, really, really concentrate and really get it right.
Hey, Joe, I mean, you're on the line with us again. Rick Rivers, Edgar, Jared, we talking basketball, man. So before you got in the line, we were talking about Carmelo Anthony. We were debating about Melo, talking about LeBron. I know Melo's your guy. Right now, that New York Knicks situation is looking kind of tough for Melo in that uniform. Once again, another one of these years with Melo and things not going right. I know the Knicks is your team, and I know Melo's your guy.
I know. So let me just say this, right? For me, observing as a fan, if we keep it 1,000 all the way through, me observing as a fan, I think that Melo didn't recover from last year's operation. Not making an excuse, just as a fan, I don't see the same lift, the same, you know, strength, the explosiveness. Like, you ain't really see him, you know, going to the basket, attacking, like dunking like he usually do and all that. So making no excuses for him. This is not confirmed from him at all, even though I'm a friend. But I watched him the whole season. I watched him in my own mentality. I've been like, yo, this guy's hurt. He doesn't admit it. Now, part two is, come on, bro, we got to give him some help. You got to give the man some help. Now, I mean, this is not the time. 2016 is not the time with one player taking the team to the playoffs or the finals. It just doesn't work like that. It ain't Allen Iverson no more. This ain't that time no more, man. This is a group effort. This takes a whole entire team's effort. And Porzingis, you know, he was a tremendous pick for the Knicks, but you need a whole, you know, look at these teams, man. There's Kyrie Irving, there's Kevin Love, there's Thompson with Mogsdorf, who was our guy. There's JR, there's Shumpert, there's another guy that was our guy, Channing Frye. Jeff, they all stacked up. If you look at all these other teams, they stacked up. So I honestly don't believe that the Knicks, meaning Phil Jackson, didn't expect the Knicks to do much this year anyway. You know, so I felt like we was doing before we played game one. I mean, to keep it 100 with you. And, you know, look, we was doomed. Look at what, you know, it hurts me to look at Nick basketball right now. Just like it hurts. I want the season to be over, the regular season to be over.
Well, it is already, Joe, but here's my argument, man. I want to know at what point, you know, Carmelo, the face of the franchise, at what point do we look at Carmelo and ask how much of the blame is on him? I mean,
you need a team around him. You need a team around him. This is team basketball. Maybe Carmelo ain't as good as everybody thinks he is. Like maybe he ain't the answer to all. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, I know when he plays Olympic basketball, he's incredible playing team ball. Now, if you ask me whether Carmelo should have came back to the Knicks or not, you know, I thought he had a better chance at Chicago. I thought he had a better chance at Houston to win a championship, to keep it real with you. So he kept it loyal to the Knicks, and the Knicks said they were going to build around him and help him in whatever the case may be.
Plus $25 million. Plus 25 extra million.
I mean, what do you want him to do? Not get paid?
No.
Get paid. No, absolutely. Get your bread now.
Listen, my brother, they got to get their bread, because at the end of the day, you got to realize this is your job. And athletes' careers are very short-lived. So any way you put it, you got to get as much as you can while you're in there. And don't think that no organization is really, really loyal to the player, because that's a rarity. Maybe the Lakers with Kobe, that's about it. Like, it's really no, you know, I watch players go all out, take less, this, that. The minute they don't become important to the team, they get thrown off the team. So, you know, I mean, he had to take care of him and his family. But, you know, these questions we're asking, he got to ask himself. Because at the end of the day, you realize if somebody doesn't win, if a player doesn't win a chip in the NBA, then, you know, he's considered a bum.
Yeah, which is sad.
Which is real sad, because you could put in your work and still be considered less than great. You know, that's almost like what's sadder than basketball is boxing. You could have a guy 45-0 lose one time. Boom! He's a bum. He's not the same. Yo, get him at night. Hey, yo, my man. Like it's, you know, athletes are under so much pressure. I'm not making no excuses for Melo. I happen to think within my own head that he didn't admit to nobody, but I don't think Melo's the same Melo that we knew before this injury. I'm hoping he snaps out of it. I'm just saying the truth. I haven't seen the same lift. I haven't seen the same speed. I haven't seen the same power. None of that. You know, now, Derek Fisher, he was here too long, way too long.
They should have never
let him go. You would have let him go last year?
Holy Christ, my man. Like, yo, Derek Fisher, boy, he kept the check, huh? Oh, my God, man. I mean, I guess he's a cool guy. What do you want me to know? I mean, like, he was out of here a long time ago.
Hey, Joe, leader of the Terror Squad, winning chips in the Rucker, didn't have to play to win a championship. What would you do if you could push Phil Jackson off to the side? How would you organize this New York Knicks if money wasn't even a factor?
Well, I would win, first of all. I would win. I would take the Knicks and win.
You turn into a championship?
No, I would win. I couldn't guarantee you an NBA championship because I don't know if I'm on that level, but I know for a fact I would win. First year playoffs guaranteed. Guess what? They won't play. Right?
Who are you going to change?
At the end of the day, they wouldn't play. Like, you wouldn't play. Like, I don't know how to explain it to you. Like, I will embarrass Melo. I would embarrass anybody. Like, I would. They wouldn't play. It would get to a point where they would be looking at me like I'm crazy and be like, yo, you're not playing. If you're not producing, if you're just standing around, you will not play. Like, I will yank you out in front of the garden, in front of everybody, be like, yo, my man, just sit down. We playing to win.
Hey, yo,
and another
player,
policy I would try to instill the most I could with all these young players is like, yo, you can't go out. We almost lost Clean Anthony. I'd be like, yo, you just can't go out. Try that one. Like, there's no going out. There's a curfew on this team.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
you got to have everybody on the same mentality of how they got to win. Like, yo, we winning. We going all the way, we winning. I mean, I know what it takes to win. You know, we all the way up. I know exactly what it takes to win.
Yo, why do you think players,
with these dudes?
I was going to say, why do you think players don't come here like they used to? Like, a lot of players don't want to come to
New
York.
Well, right now, they
play.
Don't like the system. They don't like the system. They don't like the system. They don't like the whole. Well, first of all, let me explain that I love my Knicks. I'll die a Knicks fan. It's been hard to be a Knicks fan these last couple of years. On top of that, I have no problems with the organization because they always been good to me. But I think players don't like the organization. They don't like, you know, from the top down. You know, they don't like, you know, how they be treated or whatever the case may be or whatever they heard about the organization, which is totally different. Like, I live in Miami. I'm not a Miami Heat fan, but I see how they build the basketball culture where they all want to win and they all hang out together. And Pat Riley hangs out with these guys.
Mm.
He really hangs out with them. They really got some brotherly love going on. So, and you'll never see that in the Knicks. So people don't want that, and then some people really just don't want to play with Melo. It's just because they felt like he hogged the ball. Well, this year he passed, he rebounded, he played a little more defense, and we still lost. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I think he played his position this year. He followed the system. He went with whatever could be going because we know Melo for ball hogging the ball. I haven't seen him do that this year. Give him credit for that. Give him credit. Like, you know, it'd be the Melo show, him against five. That's a fact. This year he took it on the head, and he said, nah, I'm going to play this team ball. But the team just wasn't good enough. Look at who they stepped up against. Look at the Heat. By mistake, they get Whiteside. Now they pick up Joe Johnson for
$10. And he's balling. Now he's balling.
It's crazy.
And he's balling.
They got D-Wade. They balling. Now, who else we looking at? Chicago. Like, look, these teams are stacked up, bro.
Yeah.
Stacked up.
Hey, Joe, I got a question. Like, you know, obviously you're influential and you know a lot of players. Has any player in your career ever called you and said, yo, I need some advice? And, you know, what type of advice have you given them? Like anything that
you
remember
better.
That you could talk about?
I could tell you better. Right, I can tell you better, and people will die if they believe. It's crazy, right? But you know who I used to meet with? I used to meet with Isaiah Thomas, and Isaiah, when he was coaching the Knicks, he would ask me like, "Yo, Joe, I know you're a real basketball fan. You love the Knicks. I know you want them to win. Like, what am I doing wrong? What should I do? And I personally. Ain't happy. It was just the temperature of the basketball where everybody was for themselves. But at that time, we had Steph, Zach Randolph. We had a mean team. Like, if they played together, it would have been crazy. So I didn't understand how we wasn't winning. Because I was like, yo, we got great talent. What, we had David Lee? We had a mean team at that time. But Isaiah Thomas would really sit down with me and ask me, like, yo, Joe, what's up? And it was an honor for me being that he's one of the greatest players of all times, and the fact he even cared or thought of my opinion, you know. And, Ron Artest, although he's crazy, we can't take his word too much, but Ron Artest always told me, yo, Joe, if you coach the NBA team, y'all would win. He told me all the time. You coach an NBA team, Joe, y'all would win. Like, y'all would win. Because I demand, like, yo, we playing or we not playing? And what we doing? You rich already, bro. You've been waiting on – because the thing is, you've been waiting all your life to win a chip. First you wanted to get in the NBA. You wanted to get money. Fine, now you in the NBA, you got money. Did you forget your dream? You forget when you was 5 years old playing in the snow when your dad gave you that basketball for Christmas and you was trying to shoot jump shots in the snow? Did we forget? are we in this for? Oh, you can't get me hype.
Yeah.
Coach Fat Joe's a different guy. I get on the pavement. I scrape my skin on purpose. Like, I sit down and stretch with them and scrape myself on the concrete with them so I can show them I'm with. All I can't do is play, but I'm with you all the way. Let's go.
Hey Joe, just as a joke, I did see you lose your last coaching debut right there in the Hard to Guard celebrity game against Peckers, against another light-skinned guy, Peckers, with the freckles. You took a loss out there.
Well, Beckers a fake Fat Joe. Beckers a fake Fat Joe with freckles. and he jerked me because he took all the ringers and gave me the Fat Jew. He killed me, bro. He killed me. He gave Jadakiss. Jadakiss won't stop shooting the ball. What do you want me to do? The fix was in.
Hey, Joe, but either way, I think that was what you would say. That was a great event, man. I'm glad you was a part of it. And just seeing you and Jadakiss.
That was a beautiful event.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful event, man. I enjoyed myself so much.
I appreciate you coming, Joe.
Yeah, to see you and Jada just kind of close that out.
Know.
That was good.
Yeah, let me tell you something. One time, only one time, I'm gonna say something, and y'all figure it out. But I remember one time, Edgar used to be at the Ruck all the time, right? And something happened where we was facing the team, right? And they were like, "Yo, should we do a rain check?" Not the Jay-Z. It was like, "Yo, Joe, should you do a rain check?" But that day, all my players ain't come. But, you know, I'm very, like, stubborn and you know, I'm hard-headed, right? And I remember Edgar whispered in my ear. He said, "Yo, Joe, you're going to lose today, man. You guys ain't here. I think you should take the rain check and play next week." and I looked at Edgar in the middle of all the turmoil and all that. I looked at Edgar and I said, "You know what? This guy is right." So they canceled the game. I don't know what happened for some reason. This ain't the Jay-Z, but they canceled the game and then we came back and we beat the team. But I never forget that Edgar whispered in my ear, "Yo, Joe, you're going to lose this one." And at that time, I think I might have been like 45 or 50-0. And he was like, "Oh, no, you're losing this one." And then when I looked at the other team and looked at my team, I said, "You know what? I'm losing this. I got to get out of here." They're begging me to postpone it 3 days. I'm like, "All right, fuck it. Let's postpone it." You know what I'm saying? But that was very helpful. That was very helpful.
Edgar's hint goes down in history. Edgar's hint goes down in history.
He goes down in history.
Yo, Joe, man, I appreciate you coming on, man. I'm going to see you Saturday for sure. We're going to make that stuff happen.
Hi, my brother. One love, man. Stay up, y'all.
All right, all the way up, Joe.
All the way up.
No doubt. Fat Joe on the line, H2G Radio with us, man. Hey, that was cool stuff. I know you gave him the inside scoop on that one.
Yeah. That was a crazy day that day. That was history in the making that day.
Yes. Big event kind of led to a documentary set up by Hard to Guard as well. You didn't put that in the documentary yet.
Nah, I didn't want that credit.
It's out there now, bro. It's out there now, bro. Hey, man, so, hey, we back on next week or nah?
Next Tuesday we back on. Hopefully, I'll make sure I call Jared early since Jared won't be mad at me because he's talking about I got beat up or something.
No, well, hey, ain't my fault you got your ass kicked, brother.
You'd have called me, I might have been able to help out. Yeah, you lost as a coach today. Just remember.
Just bring your team there. If you think you're bad, bring your team.
Hey, you gotta get that lady from the Golden State Warriors on, and I'm sure Jared would not have a problem.
I'm definitely gonna get on. I'm thinking like we should get on right before the playoffs, because you know, obviously, you know, she's gonna be in high demand that week.
All right, we could get on every week.
You know, that's cool, the lady and everything. Bring your team, Edgar. You talking about me and Michael? Bring your team. Bring your team down. We got something for you.
You got it. You got it.
Bring your team. Come on, bring your team.
All right, man. So, look, hey, that concludes H2G Radio this weekend. I'm out. I'll see you guys next weekend, man.
All right, peace out.
Cool.
All right. Hey.